السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today inshallah we will be continuing with the reading from our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Our last readings were about the mawali and the fact that they are also connected to us, and that this connection, whenever they have to mention it, it has to be made clear that they are from our mawali. There are many other benefits in that section of the reading, but I think we can proceed inshallah, because the major titles and the major reasons why the Imam compiled those hadiths under those sections had been discussed inshallah. So I think we can proceed to the next bab, the next chapter about our children. We had mentioned that in the Sharia, our children come in the forefront from amongst those we have the duty to care for. From amongst those we have a duty to care for, our children come right in front amongst our relatives. That's why after a mention of our relatives, of course, after mentioning our parents, and then the virtue of relating well with the rest of our relatives, as we have read in the chapters that we ended yesterday, the next lines of discussions about our children and the virtues of being nice to our children, and some sort of emphasis about the need for us to care for our children. Those are hadith about caring for kith and kin are sufficient. The ahadith about caring for kith and kin are sufficient regarding the children. But because the children play a very big role in the family, they are taken so importantly in the family, especially our girls. Many of the scholars of hadith now specifically mention the virtue of caring for our children. Otherwise, those are hadith that mention care and attention for the family. They are sufficient. They also include a mention of the children. But to show the importance of the children, specific narrations that mention the children are specifically mentioned, by way of calling our attention to our children, especially our girls. So here, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari, Abu Abdullah, he starts with the hadith, that is hadith number 76. It occurs under Babu Man Ala Jariyataini Aw Wahidataha. Babu Man Ala Jariyataini Aw Wahida. The chapter about Man Ala Jariyatain, Ala Jariyatain, the chapter regarding the virtue of Ala Jariyatain, the one who Man Ala Jariyatain, the one who supports Jariyatain, two of his children, girls, two of his young girls, Aw Wahida, or even one of them. The chapter regarding the virtue, the excellence of caring for two girls and even a girl, the virtue of caring for two girls and even a girl. We had mentioned that the ahadith that spoke about the importance of caring for our kith and kin definitely involves our children. When we mentioned the ahadith about al-aqrabu fal-aqrab, the the keeper and king have to be taking care of the nearest ones first, and then the nearest ones, and then the near ones, and so on. We see how important the place of children are. So those are hadith about caring for, about silatul rahim, wa atizal qurba haqqahu, and all these that we had read in the past. They also involve the children. But here, a specific mention is cited regarding our children, and especially the girls, so that we know the special rewards that stand to be, that we stand to gain if we care for our children, especially our girls. They have been specifically mentioned. We know the background of the Arabs, just about the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them. They were people who despised having girls as children. They hated to have girls. They would kill their young girls and bury them alive. There are verses in the Quran seriously mentioning the incidences. They would even be shy to be greeted to have given birth to girls as children. يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ He would be hiding not to be told that he had had a girl as a child. Some of them buried them. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ Allah told us in the Quran, الْمَوْءُودَةُ The girls, the children that were buried alive, they will be asking those who had buried them alive on the day of Qiyamah, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ What was my sin? What did I do? Why did you bury me alive? So it was a common thing amongst Arabs. They hated girls. But when Islam came and started to emphasize the need to care for our family, the need to care for king and queen, all of these things stopped. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to mention to the people the virtues of taking care of girls. So all of these things went a long way to change the way the people think about and actually relate with their girl children, with their children who are girls. With their children, generally speaking, but with their children who were girls, if we understand the background where they were coming from, these were people who hated to have girls. They thought that it was evil omen for an individual to have a girl as a child. So may Allah protect us all. All of these change the emergence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is hadith number 76 in our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And he reported the hadith. We have a number of ahadith to read today. By plan, I hope that we could read up to four narrations, inshallah. Three from this chapter and the next one from the next chapter, inshallah. So we'll not pay much attention to those in the asanid today, inshallah. The first hadith is hadith number 76. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his teacher, Abdullah ibn Yazid. We mentioned him in the past reports. Abdullah ibn Yazid is from among the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Qala haddathana harmala. Qala haddathana harmalatu ibn Imran, Abu Hafs at-Tujibi. Harmalatu ibn Imran, Abu Hafs at-Tujibi. عن أبي عشان المعافري عن أبي عشان المعافري عن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول من كان له ثلاث بنات من كان له ثلاث بنات وصبر عليهن وكساهن من جدته كنا له حجابا من النار حدثنا عبد الله بن يزيد قال حدثنا حرملة بن عمران أبو حفص التجيبي عن أبي عشان المعافري عن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول من كان له ثلاث بنات وصبر عليهن وكساهن من جدته كنا له حجابا من النار. Abdullah ibn Yazid narrated from his teacher Harmala ibn Imran, Abu Hafs al-Tujibi, and Abi Ushana al-Ma'afiri. Harmala ibn Imran, Abu Hafs, reported from his teacher Abu Ushana al-Ma'afiri, rahimahullah, and Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani. This is the first hadith of this companion, Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani was from amongst the Muhajirun, from amongst those who accepted Islam early. And then he migrated with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam so much loved him, and he used to move around with the Prophet Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu. We remember his story with the Prophet when he was with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in a very dark and windy night, when the wind started blowing in a manner that brought fear to any mind. And the Prophet started saying to him, Ya Uqba kul, oh Uqba, say. He didn't know what to say. Ya Uqba kul, oh Uqba, say. He didn't know what to say. Radiyallahu anhu. Ya Uqba kul, he was saying, say, oh Ya Uqba, say. He just asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, what should I say, O Messenger of Allah? He says, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak. And then the Prophet taught him Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. That was why you find Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, he reported a lot of ahadith about the virtue of Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. From among those reports in the books of hadith was the report about the virtue of Surah Al-Falaq and Nas, that ma ta'awwaza muta'awwizun bi-mislihima. There is no one seeking for Allah's protection that has something better to ask for that protection like Surah Al-Falaq and Nas. These are from the reports of Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu. He was from amongst those who learned the Quran directly from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had a virtue because he was learned. He could read what was written down and he could write. He had a copy of the Quran. Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani had a written copy of the Quran for himself. And he became a qari of the Quran, one who read the Quran and one who taught the people the Quran, to the extent that when Umar radiallahu anhu wanted him to read the Quran, he would invite him to read the Quran to him. The scholars mentioned Uqba ibn Amir that min ahsani nasi sawtan bil Quran. Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani min ahsani nasi sawtan bil Quran. He's from amongst the people with the most sonorous voice when they read the Quran, Uqba ibn Amir. And Umar radiallahu anhu used to invite Uqba ibn Amir to read the Quran to him. As for his copy of the Quran, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar saw that copy of the Quran in Misr, because Uqba ibn Amir was from amongst those Allah employed to spread Islam in Africa. Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani was from amongst those Allah employed from the companions to spread Islam in Africa, Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani. And we remember the story of how the city of Qayrawan was established. The city of Qayrawan, I think that's in modern day Tunisia, was established by Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, radiallahu anhu. There was an incident that led to that, because from the virtues of Uqba ibn Amir was that he is mujab al-da'wah. He was one who, when he prayed, Allah accepted his dua, despite the fact that he was versed in the sciences of the Quran and he read the Quran with a very sonorous voice. He also had a copy, like we mentioned, of the Quran. He wrote with his hands. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar met and saw that copy of the Quran with the handwriting of Uqba ibn Amir in Misr. So he used to be called Al-Misri because he stayed a long time in Egypt, which was like the headquarters from where Islam spread in the rest of Africa. He was amongst the ones who established the city of Qayrawan. One of the scholars, Al-Imam Yaqut Al-Hamawi, he has a book, Mu'jam al-Buldan. when he mentioned the city of Qayrawan, he mentioned the story of how the Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani established that city. That when the Muslims were moving in Africa, the people will accept Islam, and then when they were left, they will reject Islam and come back to Kufur, Africa. They will come into Islam, and later on they leave Islam. They come into Islam, they left Islam. Uqba ibn Amir now said, a better thing for us to do is to establish a city amongst the people and live with them, so that when they accept Islam, we can teach them other details of Islam. So they agreed to stay in the place we now know again as Qayrawan. When they stayed there, there were a lot of animals because it was a virgin land, it was a vast open land. A lot of reptiles used to come to the area to disturb the people. So one day it was mentioned that Uqba ibn Amir gathered the people and begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that we are the companions. He announced to the reptiles. So, all reptiles, we are the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have come to take this city as a place to spread the deen of Muhammad. I adjure you all to walk out of this place. And it was said that by the next morning, they saw reptiles walking out of the place we now know as Qayrawan. So this was how it all started. And then they established the city from where they started to spread Islam. A major city of knowledge was established in Qayrawan. I think most of it still exists today if we read about these people. So Uqba ibn Amir was very, very strong and useful in the spread of Islam in Africa. Some of the scholars even said he came down into Western Africa, and that he moved so far away into the boundaries of the Atlantic in faraway areas around Senegal, and that he was reported to have said that, oh Allah, I want you to bear me witness that if I know that there is any land beyond this place, I would have reached it to spread Islam. That was, and then he came back after reaching the beach of the Atlantic in the western part of Africa. This is about Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From amongst the things that had been said about Uqba ibn Amir was that he was fasih al-lisan. He was a very, very oratorial person. He was very eloquent in his speech. He was a master in the reading of the Quran. He was eloquent in his speech. Wakana faqihan. And he was very learned in the matters of fiqh. So you can see he combined strength with knowledge, with righteousness, and all of these. These were the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That's why if you go in the Quran, you see Allah referring to them as rijal, rijal, rijalun la tulhihim tijarah. So these are men. These are the men. These are the models for the Muslims. Radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. So this hadith we are reading today, let's come back. We're only talking about Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani, who had reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, Samitu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. Uqba ibn Amir said, I heard the Messenger of Allah saying, Man kana lahu thalathu banat wa sabara alayhinna. وكساهن من جدته كن له حجابا من النار من كان له ثلاث بنات وصبر عليهن وكساهن من جدته كن له حجابا من النار من كان له ثلاث بنات. Whoever Allah blesses with three girls, من كان له, whoever has three girls, whoever gives birth to three girls, وَصَبَرُ عَلَيْهِنَّ, and he was patient in his dealings with his girls. He has three girls, and he related with them patiently. He related with them consciously, being patient about handling them as girls. وَكَسَاهُنَّ, and then he provided their clothing. He was patient while nurturing them. The scholars say sabr is quickly mentioned here because while nurturing children, while bringing up children, patience is a major, major and an important traits that the parents need. When we nurture children, we need a lot of patience. So we should note it for all of us, both regarding our boys and regarding our girls. Thoroughly, nurturing and bringing up children require a lot of what? A lot of sabr. So that was why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started talking about nurturing children. And the first thing he will mention is what? As-sabru. We have to be patient over and with respect to children when we nurture them. Sometimes you give them an instruction and they do the opposite. Perhaps because they don't understand. Perhaps because the only thing they understand is the opposite of what we have instructed them. And many times, many things happen requiring that the parents are patient. From the child, from the time we give birth to the children, we need to be patient. If the mothers are not patient over the pains of delivery, would we have the child? If the mothers are not patient about not having deep sleep at night when the children worry sometimes, would we have the children at all? The breastfeeding itself requires a lot of patience. Carrying the baby, nurturing them, handling them requires a lot of patience. So patience is a major trait that the parents have to know. We have to imbibe and then employ when we teach our children and as we nurture our children. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, man kana lahu thalathu banat, whoever has three daughters, wa sabara alayhinna, and he is patient in his dealings with his daughters, wakasahunna, and then he dresses them in clothes, he clothes them. It means regarding our daughters, one of the things we have to pay attention to is that they are sufficiently dressed. Our daughters must be sufficiently dressed. Sufficient in terms of dressing is that the dressing must cover them sufficiently. The dressings that we wear our girls must cover them sufficiently. Kasahunna, he dresses the girls. It doesn't mean that they do not dress in beautiful attires. In fact, that is from the nature of girls. Allah mentioned that in the Quran, our man yunasha'u bil hilyati wa huwa fil khisami yunasha'u fil hilya. Girls are people that we nurture them upon designs, upon decorations, upon nice things. To dress their hairs, you dress them, wear them in nice dressings. But these dressings must be sufficient enough to cover them as is enough, especially when they leave the home. We should not dress up the girls so much that we leave them exposed. We should dress them and make sure that the necessary areas in their bodies are covered. They are covered up. He dresses the girls. So the Prophet employed as-sabru regarding relating with the children. Then the next thing is that we should dress the girls as is appropriate. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wakasahunna min jidatihi. He dresses the girls min jidatihi. Jidatihi min ginahu. Yani mimma razaqahu Allahu min al-abwal. From the wealth that Allah has provided him. That is from where he buys clothing and he dresses his girls as is appropriate. If a man is patient over relating with his girls and he dresses his girls normally and appropriately from what Allah has blessed him with financially, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, kunna lahu hijaban minan nar. These girls will be the means of a hijab for him against the fire, a means of a shield for this man against the fire, a means of a fence away from the fire. The tarbiyah of the three girls that he has done so patiently, that he has clothed so patiently, and he has done all of these out of his own possessions that Allah has endowed him with. The one who is patient in his dealings with his children, his girls especially, the one who has the ability, as much as his little, to sufficiently clothe his girls. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, kunna lahu hijaban minan nar. These girls will be a means of protection for him from the fire. So from the means of gaining Allah's protection against the fire is what? Tarbiyatul banat. Nurturing and bringing up our girls as is appropriate. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, man kana lahu thalathu banat. Whoever has three girls, wa sabara alayhinna, and he is patient in his dealings with his girls, وَكَسَاهُنَّ مِنْ جِدَتِهِ, and then he dresses and provides clothes for these girls from the provisions that Allah has given him. كُنَّ لَهُ حِجَابًا مِنَ النَّارِ. These girls will be a means of protection for him. That is, what he has done regarding these girls will be the means by which he will be rewarded with protection from the fire on the day of Qiyam. So we understand this great virtue of nurturing and of bringing up young girls from amongst our children. We quickly move to the next hadith. Let's note the major points in this hadith. The first one is employing a sabru. The second one is making sure that we clothe our children appropriately. And the reward for that is that the individual will gain protection of Allah from the fire. He will not be burnt in the fire when he does these good deeds. What are they? Being patient with his girls. And then doing what? Providing them clothes from the means that Allah has given him. The next hadith is hadith number 70. Hadith number 77. That is the hadith of Al-Fadlu ibn Dukayn. Here, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned him by name. Otherwise, in the past reports, he was mentioning him as what? Abu Nu'aym. So Abu Nu'aym is Al-Fadlu ibn Dukayn. He said, Haddathana Fitrun an Shurahbi. Haddathana Fitrun an Shurahbi. Al-Imam Fitr reported from Shurahbi. قال سمعت ابن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شرحبيل was reporting from Abdullah ibn Abbas. So the tabi'i of this hadith, of this author, is al-Imam Shurahbil, and he is reporting from Imam Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas al-Qurashi رضي الله عنهما, the eminent and the learned companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So he was reporting that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan, ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan, fayuhsinu suhbatahuma illa adkhalatahu al-jannah. Ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan fayuhsinu suhbatahuma illa adkhalatahu al-jannah. Ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan fayuhsinu suhbatahuma illa adkhalatahu al-jannah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who said, ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan. There is not any Muslim tudrikuhu ibnatan. Tudrikuhu ibnatan will be better understood in the report of Al-Imam Ibn Majah. What does tudrikuhu ibnatan mean? That is, as is in the report of Al-Imam Ibn Majah Al-Qazwaini in his Sunan, he said, Tudrikulahu ibnatan. He had two children, two daughters who become matured. A Muslim who has two daughters that grew to maturity. You have two daughters and they grew up to maturity with you. A Muslim who has two daughters, and these two daughters grew up to maturity. فَيُحْسِنُ صُحْبَتَهُمَا. And then أَحْسَنَ صُحْبَتَ. He makes nice. He treats them nicely. He relates with them nicely. He makes his company with his girls who have matured. He makes it a nice relationship. nicely. He provides them their needs. He's there to help them. He's there to assist them. He educates them. He provides them all that they need as young girls. These two girls will be the means of his entering Al-Jannah. These two girls will be the means of his entering Al-Jannah. These two girls who become matured under his care. They become matured under his attention. He had been caring for them since they were young kids. And then tudrikulahu ibnatan, they become matured under his attention and under his care. Adkhalathahu al-jannah. These two girls will be the means of his coming into al-jannah. The two young girls that we had cared for right from childhood up to the time that they became matured, and after that time, they became matured, and after even they became matured, he began to still pay attention to them. One of the scholars who spoke about this hadith specifically, Al-Imam Muslim, he said the reason why the girl maturing and the father taking care of them became the means of Al-Jannah is that most men reduce attention once their girls become matured. They reduce the attention they pay to their girls. Once their girls become matured, they pay less attention to them. This is not right in Islam. When our girls become matured, being matured does not cut off our dealings with them. Many of the parents, this is the time they disconnect from their daughters. And by the time the girls become matured enough to marry and actually go to the houses of their husbands, they begin to tell them, go and bring a man. Go and bring a man. For me, it is from the aspects of disconnection. They start telling the girl, go and bring a man to marry. Go and bring a man so that we go out of this house. You go out of this house. They begin to chastise the girls as if originally they are not from the home. This is her father's house. She should not feel any disconnection from the home, from where she was born. She has a right to be cared for as a little young girl before maturity. And at the time she becomes matured, as parents, as fathers, we have a duty to be nice to our daughters in our dealings with them. Be easy with them as young girls, even though they have been matured. Be easy with them. Draw their attention. Pay attention to them. Be nice to them. When you do this, illa adkhalatahu al-jannah. When a Muslim does this, these girls and the care that he has, the attention that he has paid to them, become a means for the father to gain admittance into Al-Jannah. Now there's a question quickly, like a puzzle, that I like us to do. What is the difference between the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani and the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas? The first difference is that the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani spoke about three girls. And he mentioned that they're jariyatan, little young girls. Jariya, little kids. Kids as children, little young girls. So since this is the first and the second, the first thing is that they are three. The second is that they're little young girls. And then the third thing in the difference between the first hadith and the second hadith is that in the first hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was patient in dealing with them as little young girls. And then he appropriately provided their clothing for them as little children. The fourth thing, which is a difference between the first hadith and the second hadith, is that kunna lahu hijaba minanna. They will be a means of protection for the father against the fire of Jahannam. These are four major things in the first hadith. In the second hadith, ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan. The second hadith is talking about a time when those girls would have become matured. It's the first difference with the first hadith. Fayuhsinu suhbatahuma. In the second hadith, it's also talking about ihsanu suhba. Generally speaking, relating with the girls in a nice way. your girls, your daughters who have been matured, relating with them in a very nice way. Of course, that will involve being patient with them. That will also involve providing them clothing and all of that thing. But specifically, this hadith mentions being nice to the girls. So it means all of what we shall do with our girls who have become matured must not leave out being nice, being kind, being compassionate. Draw them close. Make them become your friends, because it is talking about sohbah. And sohbah has to do with friendship and friendliness. Sohbah, companionship. So it means it has to do with some sort of talking to them, paying more attention to them, sitting down with them, listening to them. This is what many of the parents do not do. Yesterday, I was looking at one of what the scholars wrote about why children become spoiled. Why children become spoiled. And he mentioned one thing I think it's necessary because of our discussion here to mention today. He said, Kathratu biya bil aba. The much of parents leaving the home absent from where the girls are. The girls don't have any sense of belonging with fathers. So you see many of the fathers these days, in the name of exposing the girls from primary school, the girls were away from you as a father. From secondary school, the girls were away from you as a father. 4 years in the university, the girls were away from you as a father. As soon as they finish the university, they want to get married, for those who think very rightly, because these days, most times parents insist, and this is not correct, that the girls don't get married until they have obtained MSCs and PhDs that they do not need in the homes of their husbands. This insistence is what we are talking about. Don't misquote and misunderstand the statement. It's not a statement to say that women should not obtain a master's degree or a PhD. This is not the meaning. But let them go to their husband. Let them be married, especially for young girls who desire marriage. When they desire to marry after they become mature, don't prevent them from getting married because they want to obtain a second or a third degree or even a first degree. Is there anything preventing a young girl from being in the house of her husband and then attending a university? Is there anything wrong about that? That a girl is in the house of her husband, she's married, she has an akud over her, she has a commitment to a man as a wife, not as a girlfriend. Unfortunately, many of the parents who do this allow their girls to have boyfriends. Say, yes, you can have a boyfriend, but you can't have a husband. What is the emotional commitment to a boyfriend? And this is what Allah has prohibited in the Quran. He has prohibited girls having boyfriends and boys having girlfriends. He says, "Wala mutakhidhi akhdan." Do not take boys as boyfriends or as girlfriends, as the case may be. So many of the parents you find who deny their girls to marry, even as undergraduates or as people who have obtained first degrees, they begin to insist that you must have a master's degree. You must have a PhD. Is it from the religion? So you deny this girl the joy of becoming an emotionally protected person from an early stage in his life, despite the fact that you have denied him attention as a father. From the time this little young girl had been in a primary school, you had not been available for your daughters. You don't have any sort of companionship with them. You thought that when you provide them food and drink and the basic things of life, you thought that you had given all that was necessary. This was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning ihsan al-sufa, having a nice companionship. When you abandon the girl from primary school in a school, you abandon her in the secondary school in a school, you don't have any kind of personal dealings and relation of compassion with your daughter. You think that you have done all that is required for you as a father to do regarding your daughter in Islam. You have not. Why? You have not provided this little young girl companionship. When the scholars mention the things that destroy children, one of them is the fact that the fathers are not available for their children. They don't have any kind of compassionate discussion, togetherness with their children. Some of the children can't even remember having time to spend with their fathers. This is why some fathers now, in a way to bridge the gap, the wide gap, they think that it's taking the girl to spend 30 minutes together at Tantalizer or Mr. Biggs or an eatery that solves the problem. That is not what we are talking about. Your child must develop a sense of togetherness with you, and you must have a sense of togetherness with your daughters. This mindset of togetherness, thinking that we can pay for togetherness, the same problem many of us have with our parents. We discussed it. Some of the people think when they send 5,000 naira in a month, 10,000 naira in a month to their parents, that suffices. No, the same way, many of the people think once they can buy a girl a dress, they can buy a girl a car, they can buy a girl a shoe, they can buy a girl a gown, they have become good fathers and mothers. No, how about togetherness? How about discussion? How about having these girls and boys see you as friends, see you as someone that they are together with? See you as someone they can talk to. See you as someone who can talk to them, who has their confidence. This kind of mentality is largely missing in many families regarding their young girls. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan. Any Muslim who has two daughters grow up under him and then they become matured. Fayuhsinu suhbatahuma. And then he has good compassion, companionship. He has good togetherliness. He has good friendliness with these girls after even they would have become matured. Illa adkhalatahul jannah. This dealing nicely with your girls will be a means of you gaining al-jannah. Good companionship, good togetherliness, good friendliness with your daughters will be a means of entering al-jannah for you by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to keep the girls away from some of the people as young as age 1.5 is taking their children out of the home. They say they are in kindergarten. I don't know what is the lesson that a little young girl of 1.5 or 2 or 3, when even pedagogists say that the time we should start to teach children is from about 5, 6, and for even some children, 7, you allow the brain of the child to rest and play up to about age 4, going to age 5. And between age 1 and 4, you teach these children how to make daily adhkars. They learn them. We have children. There are children who, from age 2.5, you start hearing the azan and iqama from them. If without teaching them, they learn that by default from your home. If your home is not like this, then there's a problem. If your home is not a home where children by default, without teaching them, they can say iqama, they can say kalimatu shahada. Your children can recite Surah Al-Fatiha without teaching them by default because they hear these things regularly. If the home is not like this, then there's a problem. It means the father or the mother have abandoned their home, or both of them, because in some homes, both parents, father and mother, don't have attention. So father goes away in the morning to look for what the family will eat. The mother goes away selling bags and shoes and all the rest, and then they throw the girl to a kindergarten school at age 3. This is injustice to your girls. This is injustice to your girls. Those girls don't come back home until 5 p.m. When they come back home with you at 5 p.m., they are tired and exhausted. You are also tired and exhausted. They don't have a sense of togetherliness and a sense of belonging with you because everybody is out of the home. This is not right in Islam. And unfortunately, people become, the little children become emotionally derailed from a very, very young age because they learned to be abandoned. The girls, the boys had learned to be abandoned. So they suffer emotional loss and they learn to cope with it. So that's why when the children also become old, they teach the children about, they teach their parents abandonment because the street which the parents had brought them up abandoning them. So they pay them back when they grow up. May Allah protect us all. Let us reorganize our home in such a way that parents have more attention for their children. What we have been doing in the name of educating our children, boys and girls, is not fair. We are denying them of emotional support, and this is not proper. The Allah Prophet of each of us knows how to reorganize this affair in our home. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid emphasis about companionship, paying attention to our girls before they become matured and after they become matured. We go to the next hadith. The second hadith talks about entering Al-Jannah, and it talked about two girls, and it talked about the girls being matured. These are some of the differences between the first and the second hadith. The first hadith was the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani. The second hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, in which the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Ma min muslimin tudrikuhu ibnatan." There is no Muslim who has two girls becoming matured under him. فَيُحْسِنُ صُحْبَتَهُمَا. And then he has good sohba, good companionship, good togetherliness with his children. إِلَّا أَدْخَلَتَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. These girls would be a means for him to enter Al-Jannah if he does this. May Allah make our girls means of Al-Jannah for us. What we shall do to them to end this Al-Jannah in this manner, may Allah make it easy for us. And that's why we must understand, ikhwah, there's a point about issues of entering Al-Jannah, issues of entering Al-Jannah. They are usually not things people like to do easily. The things that the Messenger will say, this thing will bring you into Al-Jannah, this thing will bring you into Al-Jannah, they are things that people like giving excuses about. Don't forget that Al-Jannah is surrounded with things that the mind doesn't like to do easily. Makariyah, things we don't like to do easily. So we have to fight against that desire and inclination away from these things. It's something we have to struggle to do. May Allah make it easy for us. I think we can proceed to hadith number 78. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from Abu Nu'man, who said, حَدَّثَنَا سَعِيدِ ibn Zayd. قال حدثني علي بن زيد قال حدثني محمد بن المنكدر. محمد بن المنكدر is a very, very big scholar from amongst the tabi'un. If not that, for the loss of time, for the short of time, we would have mentioned a few virtues of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir. He's the one who has reported this hadith from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma. Himself and his father were from amongst the companions, and he had a virtue. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari had a virtue. He taught Islam in the Prophet's Masjid for over 50 years radiyallahu anhu. He died at age about 94 years. For over 50 years of his life, he was teaching inside the Prophet's Masjid. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was teaching Islam, teaching hadith, teaching fiqh, teaching Quran. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. If he has no virtue mentioned about him except the fact that he was a teacher in the Prophet's Masjid after the Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is sufficient, huge virtue for him. And we remember the very lengthy hadith about the Prophet's Hajj. It was narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. He's an eminent companion. He was not in Badr, he was too young. He was not also in Uhud, he was too young. But he came to Uhud to pick the dead corpse of his father and his uncle, both of who passed away in Uhud. He placed them on the beast of burden, and he was driving them to Medina to go and bury them. And he was called back by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those who die on the path of Allah in the battlefield, they are buried in the same place where they have passed away. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, himself and his father, they were companions radiyallahu anhuma, and he reported a lot of ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the one who reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that man kana lahu thalathu banat. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, من كان له ثلاث بنات يؤويهن ويكفيهن ويرحمهن فقد وجبت له الجنة البتة. فقال رجل من بعض القوم، وثنتين يا رسول الله؟ قال وثنتين. من كان له ثلاث بنات يؤويهن ويكفيهن ويرحمهن فقد وجبت له الجنة البتة. فقال رجل من بعض القوم وثنتين يا رسول الله. قال وثنتين. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Man kana lahu thalathu banat, whoever has three daughters, yuwihinna al-iwa, and then he supports his daughters. So parents, we have a duty to be a means of support for our daughters. Yuwihinna, he would support them. Wayakfihinna, he will suffice them. He will provide them with what they need. He will provide them with their sufficiency. He will make their provisions available to them. He will support them. And then he will provide them the need for their sufficiency, what they need to suffice with. And then he will be merciful to them. He will be kind to his daughters. He will be compassionate with his daughters. Whoever has three daughters and he relates with them like this, فَقَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةُ الْبَتَّةُ, it has become absolutely necessary for him to be entered into Al-Jannah. قَدْ وَجَبَتْ. قَدْ itself emphasizes what comes after it. Wajabat itself as a word, wajabat, it has become compulsory. It has definitely become necessary. Lahu, that he deserves to have al-jannah, al-bata, absolutely. So it means it's a very, very big means of earning al-jannah, supporting our young girls. يؤويهن ويكفيهن ويرحمهن. الإيواء, supporting the girls, being a means of help to the girls. Of course, all of that involves what we had mentioned earlier. ويكفيهن, and then he suffices his girls. ويرحمهن, and then he is merciful to his girls. فقد وجبت له الجنة, it becomes compulsory for him. It becomes absolutely necessary that he is entered into Al-Jannah. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَعْضِ الْقَوْمِ, from among some of the people who were with the Prophet when he made his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man from amongst them then asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَثِنْتَيْنِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, how about two girls, messenger of Allah? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the three girls. So the man called out, Messenger of Allah, how about two girls? Maybe he had two girls at the time. Radiallahu anhu. So he said, Messenger of Allah, how about two girls? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in pain, and then two girls. Meaning, whoever has two girls, and he supports them, he helps them, he provides their needs, and he is compassionate with them, it becomes absolutely necessary that Allah places this individual into Al-Jannah. Wallahi, this is a great virtue for taking care of girls. I've usually told people who are running around talking about girl child rights, girl child rights. I say that message is not for we Muslims if we stand by the rules of our religion. Girl child, girl child, girl child. This expression is negative itself when they say it. They mean more than we think that they say. We don't need girl child rights. We don't need it. We don't need it as Muslims if we stick to our religion. The message that the Muslim needs is about getting into Islam completely. Udkhulu fi silmi kafatan. Come into Islam completely. When you are coming into Islam completely, you be yourself as an individual. You show your duties, you discharge your duties and fulfill your rights regarding your parents. You fulfill your rights regarding your relatives. You fulfill your rights regarding your daughters and your children. You don't need a girl child rights. You don't need a child rights bill. to now dictate how you relate with your daughters. As a Muslim, so the problem is about being the Muslim correctly. So we don't need get child right, Muslim right, child catch right, children right, this and all of these. Those rights are embedded in the Sharia of Islam. And if you want to say for every ruling of Sharia, we need an organization. It means we need an organization to teach Muslims how to pray. We need an organization right, Salat, to teach people how to observe Salat. We need an organization, Muslims, African Muslims, Zakah, or whatever. Then we need an organization to teach us how to perform Hajj. We need an organization all over the world. All we need is that we should invite to Islam correctly and learn the teachings of Islam correctly as a whole. The Prophet came with a whole peace. He did not come with Islam in pieces. Despite the fact that girls used to be treated badly, he did not come as a girl's rights, a messenger regarding girl's rights. La. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. Allah told him, you are a mercy to the entirety of mankind. Muslims are a mercy to the entirety of mankind when we practice Islam correctly and teach Islam correctly. So we do not need to balkanize and divide ourselves in the names of groups and organizations fighting for rights, fighting for this. What we need to do is invite into Islam as a single, well-packaged way of life and relate to the rest of the people as is appropriate. Otherwise, issues of girls' rights are not things that should be preached to Muslims at all if we are correctly Muslims. So if we are not correctly Muslims, that is where the problem comes. It would also mean that there are issues of aqidah, belief, regarding our belief, or we need to set up an organization to teach Muslims the belief of Islam. If we do this, we will balkanize the religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came with the religion, he came with an all-encompassing package. So what we need to do is to make an all-embracing attitude to.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa Yusuf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abba Yusuf.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What was the last thing you said?
Now, we don't need groups. We don't need groups.
Okay. I think it will suffice for us to stop there because the major point in the hadith had been explained. So we can take one or two questions, inshallah. And we would like to say next Saturday will be devoted to questions and answers, inshallah. The next class, next Saturday, will be devoted to questions and answers, inshallah. So you can go on with one or two questions for today, inshallah.
This one says, is the function of nurturing girls appropriately only for their father? Or the mother will also be protected from hellfire.
The both of them, because you see in the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir, it says, man kana lahu, whoever. So this man is from the siga of generality, from the expression of generality. Man, anyone, whether father or mother. I'm sorry if the emphasis had been about the father. It's about father or mother, man, anyone amongst the Muslims. If you come to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, hadith number 77, the same thing. Ma min muslimin, there is not any Muslim, that is male or female. Likewise, if you come to the hadith of Jabir, the third hadith we read today, hadith number 78. Man kana lahu, this man is a siga, is an expression of generality. It involves every person, whether male or female. I hope that is clear, inshallah.
This question has been asked repeatedly, but I couldn't just read it. It's a question from a girl saying, cutting off relationship with one's boyfriend, asking again, will that make one be among those whom Allah will not forgive every month and Thursday?
Cutting off relationship with who?
With one's boyfriend.
Okay.
Boyfriend.
Okay. In the first place, it is not appropriate for a Muslim to a girl to have a boyfriend. We just mentioned it in the class shortly. It is not appropriate for a young Muslim girl to have boyfriends. Keep away from boys. Keep away from boys. The boys should keep away from girls. Oh, they suffice at home. They have their sisters with them who should be their friends. Their friends and in terms of friends. They should keep relationship with their brothers and keep relationship with their sisters. But as for the relationship of a boy from one family and then a girl from another family, this should not be encouraged in any way. A boy and then a girl. Every barrier should be placed in between the two of them. So she should disconnect from that boy. It is not disconnecting from him is not from those who will not be forgiven. In fact, disconnecting from him will help her gain Allah's forgiveness, inshallah. So she should disconnect from him and not have anything to do with him.
Different says, does the wife also have to clarify herself while ascribing herself to her husband's family?
We will discuss issues about wives and ascription when we come to the discussions about husband and wife. It is also contained in this book, inshallah. We'll be discussing about the wife and her husband when we come to the matters, inshallah, regarding the wife and her husband. I mean, can we stop here today?
No,
inshallah, we'll be employing the next class to discuss, to have questions and answers responded to, inshallah. Ameen wa antum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.